And of course, the best for this hour, it is our shapeshifter, who is, of course, the Africa Business Director for TLC Marketing, Middle East and Africa. It is Mr. Amani Mgeni, and he's here to talk to us this evening. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I am well. I am nervous. It's the first time, but being on radio, that is.
You look very comfortable, I must say.
Thank you. Thank you, but I'm glad to be here.
You don't look nervous at all.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm hoping that this will go well, but yeah.
It will. It will. How was your day?
My day was good. Yeah. Today I got to rest, man.
Oh, okay.
I got to spend time with the family. Yeah. I have a 1-year-old.
Yeah, oh, nice.
He was with me almost until I had to make my way here. So what a great day.
So what's your typical day if today was your resting day? Do you normally have very busy days?
Yes, normally at work. You don't know what will come next.
Yes.
You're chasing a client. You're trying to make sure some product is working, a campaign is working.
Yeah.
So normally you just don't know how, you know, you're chasing people, they're chasing you and so forth. You know, the day goes and you don't know where it went.
Yeah.
You know, but a day like this is particularly, I like it because ordinarily the day of rest on the Sabbath, I'm also on the in the vineyard working, you know.
Yeah.
So the one that I can put my feet up.
It's only today.
Oh, it's today. Because Sunday is its own pieces, you know.
I believe tomorrow you're also not working. Did you take a long weekend like this? This was
sort of half working and so forth. It'll be on the celly, but trying to put my feet up. Man.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank
we really
you for
appreciate
having
and me. Yeah. Appreciate you coming to studio as well. Mm-hmm. I think that just gives us a sense of who you are and how you take things seriously. But let's go back.
Sure.
When people ask you, who are you? Who is Amani?
Yeah.
What do you say?
You see, when I... this question...
It's a difficult one.
It is. And I used to be scared of it, you know? Because when I was young, I used to picture myself with a panel of very serious-looking people asking me, like, tell us about you.
Yeah.
And trying to put to say all sorts and manner of things that I've read on books.
Yeah.
But if I'm to be asked who I am, you know, I want to throw out the cliche statements like Christian.
Okay.
You know, but I want to say that in context because without that, I think I'll be in Cuckoo Factory at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be somewhere in an institution, you know, without that.
So Christianity gives you some sense of sanity of
sorts. Yes, without which I don't think my existence would be meaningful.
Yeah.
I'm also a husband.
Okay.
You know, and that also is a serious anchor.
Yeah.
And a source of joy, if I'm to put it that way. And then I'm a father.
Okay.
You know, I got 3 boys.
Yeah.
One of whom, like I was saying, you know, youngest, 1-year-old. And it's just taking me back. The first one is 15. You can imagine the gap.
Yeah.
But I'm also a brother.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm an aspiring plant-based individual, you know?
That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I keep falling. That's why I keep saying aspiring.
We all fall, don't worry.
You know, I keep falling, but that's a nice piece that I wish I knew earlier in my life.
Yeah.
I'm a sports enthusiast, fitness enthusiast.
Which sports?
I've played quite a bit. Rugby, basketball, soccer.
Tell me you're a Kaizer Chiefs fan.
Say again?
Kaizer Chiefs fan.
I used to be.
Oh, no.
And then I stopped following as much. So now if I can't call myself that, but I used to be, especially in the days when I was seeing Kumalo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy who caused me to be a Chiefs fan. Yeah. I used to be also a Man U fan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't follow as much as you know. The one thing, by the way, about that is sport can become addictive.
Yes.
You know? And so, rugby, basketball, soccer, addictive.
Fantastic.
But I played them, I enjoyed them. You know, I have injuries that I've gone through to show
me.
I've got evidence. I have got evidence, enough evidence, and I hope it doesn't bite me too hard when I'm older, you know.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Growing up, where did you grow up? And perhaps in the same breath, what challenges were faced in the community where you grew up?
So my journey has been somewhat interesting, at least I believe so. I think so.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. my growing up, I was born in Canada.
Oh, okay.
You know, my parents were studying there.
Yeah.
They were on scholarships.
Yeah.
And I happened to be born there. So that's where it all began for me. And then we are Tanzanians, you know. So
okay.
Went back to Tanzania.
Okay.
And so we were coming. It's quite interesting. So that's almost the purest form of capitalism.
Mm.
And when we go back to Tanzania, this is in the 80s.
Yeah. Different one.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Then it was, you know, they're just getting out of the, I would say, socialism.
Yeah.
You know, where you got a queue for bread for, you know, every now and again, not all the time.
Yeah.
And even the different societies. So how society functions in the Canadian setting vis-a-vis a Tanzanian setting.
Was that like a culture shock of sort?
Yeah, but I was too young, I must confess.
Okay.
I was too young, but still can feel the difference.
Yeah.
The culture, yes.
Yeah.
Because there, I mean, I came in not knowing a word of Swahili.
Okay.
And then because of how young I was, he raised all English you know, to become, you know, only Swahili speaking. And I had to get the skill set in English again, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, so each place has its pros and cons as far as I can see, you know. You know, there's the capitalist way, you know, individual is king. And then there is this socialist way where this is
community,
the collective community, you know.
Yeah.
And in the long run, there's some serious pros and cons in both, some of which I value more. For example, the sense of community is huge. I wish, I don't know how we can, I don't see the world going towards that, you know, but the sense of community is huge. Whether we talk like today, we talk money.
Mm.
If we were community centered or centric, I think it would be totally different.
Yeah.
It would be totally different. Right now, the society is going to a place where it's about the individual.
Yeah,
so
true.
When all these things are coming attacking you, it's totally different. I don't know if I'm going off course.
No.
You know, social media, you know, consumption, you are dealing with it alone. You're not dealing with it as a community.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's food. You know, when you are consuming the food that is not great, you're dealing with it individually, not as a community, you know. So that's just to give you contrast, you know. For Canadian background, more individualistic.
Yeah.
Tanzanian, more collective. Mm. And then I came here, you know. Came here as a 15-year-old, you know, or is it 16, one of the two, and had piece of my high school here.
Mm.
And university here,
okay.
and then started working,
okay.
You know, in this context. And then since then, of course, I had a bit of experiences even in East Africa here, you know. And it's been interesting so far, man. It's been so interesting so far.
Now all these places, how would you say they have contributed to who you are today?
Yeah, that's a complex question. Yeah, that's a complex question. I would say, for example, the things that about the idea of going for what you want, you know, individually, you know, the ambition and so forth. So one of the things I really liked about here, the country, South Africa, is the sports scene. I mean, this is where I got to blossom sports-wise.
Yeah.
You know? And the idea of, for example, I went to school in Eastern Cape.
Okay.
And rugby there is.
So did you struggle with that click?
At first,
language,
actually, I can't say quite that I perfected it. But I did. It
but
was so.
We are tete a little bit.
A little bit. You know, it's disappeared over time because I wasn't practicing.
Okay.
You know, my little sister was married to a guy from there, guy. It was my spari.
Yeah.
She's good at it. Now, me, I'm so poor.
Yeah.
But, it was it was quite fascinating to see some, like a language with clicks. How's that? You know, I'd never heard or even seen before.
Yes.
So, but in Eastern Cape, then I learned rugby, you know, and the sense of, you know, trying to go for what you want, the aggression of wanting to win, you know. So, yeah, that's bits and pieces that I got from here, you know, in Tanzania, like I was saying, sense of community, cohesion, or trying to get cohesive in terms of, you know, whatever agenda there is, it's always looked at as a community, you know.
So
I'm glad that piece was deeply entrenched. But here's what I think had the biggest impact for me, you know, because we're talking culture here, right? So there's culture in terms of where you go, and there's Xhosa, there's Zulu, there is, you know, Pedi, there's, you know, if we're going to Tanzania, there's a Chaga, there's a Pare, there's, you know, a whole lot. But then there's a culture that you set as in a household. For me, that's the where I think the biggest impact came from. You know, the structures that were set in play. I must confess that I used to think they are restrictive. You know,
this well, thing coming from Canada, of course.
No, like no. I'm talking about, you know, in the home. You know, so you're forced to wake up to for prayer. Thinking, oh my goodness, not everyone. My friends don't do this. you know, when they said, look, we don't watch certain movies here. We don't. In fact, the TV is, you know, you gotta say why you want to watch a certain program. You gotta motivate. That's how I grew up. You know. But I look back and I'm thinking, wow, I wish I had taken that in, you know, more deeply, because, and this is what I'm finding now, you know, like the idea of, you know, that morning prayer, that is not just communal, as a family we're meeting, but your own personal one. Oh, I wish I learned this when I was younger, because it's where it all starts, I think. Even the wisdom to go and effect money matters comes from there. God is the maker of everything, you know. So if we are saying, look, I have this challenge, I'm looking like this and this opportunity, what do you think? You know, can you lead? Oh, you know, I wish I had that at the beginning, you know what I mean?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Let's talk about your career, though, now.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that. Where did it start?
So and you laugh at this because I only remembered when I was sitting here now. You laugh at this. So to begin with, it and I'll tell you the story. You laugh. You definitely enjoy this. I mean, and it's got to do with your brand, your employers. Okay. You know, so to begin with, I mean, I you know, finished university, looked for a job. You know, I had internship with banks in Tanzania, with a bank actually, not banks. And so I knew pretty much, you know, what I must confess is to say, I mean, I come from a family of academia. You know, my parents are in the academia, retired. My mother is retired now, but my, you know, basically it's academia, you know, universities. So I didn't, I knew I wanted to do business. You know, I felt that like that's where I should be. I should be at, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, so in coming out of varsity, you're just trying to get a good paying job. That was my outlook. And this is one of the things. I mean, as you look at the background and see how it shaped you, I wish schools had. In fact, let me put it this way: I wish successful people who have won in different industries where they weren't teaching in school, you know, so, because I really have a problem with the idea that you're teaching me business when you've not even sold the chicken at a profit, you know, you know, so I really, in my, that's my view. And, but that's not all. It's the idea of teaching someone how to find what they really want to do. Like, what they're really good at, given the skill set that God has given them, the talents that are given. And then when you find that thing, then to build around that, you know, and then your education career is built around that. If that were to happen, oh, I know it's almost utopia, but that's how I feel.
Makes things, sense, though.
You know? Yeah, if you knew that, look, I'm going to be a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why are you wasting your time doing, you know, quadratic equation? You know, why, you know?
Yeah.
Not that you can't, and the idea is not about being a specialist.
Yes, yeah.
But you can zone in to say, look, what skill set will cause me to be a greater, better broadcaster?
Yeah,
right.
True.
Maybe I need to understand different cultures. Maybe I need, you know? So, and fine. How do I take this? Anyway, so the place where I got an aha moment, that's why I was saying you laugh at this. I was heartbroken. I had broken up with the girl I was dating then. Yeah. I was in Johannesburg.
So wait, your career starts with a broken...
No, exactly. I'm telling you how my philosophy was built, you know? So I decided, you know what? I had a few cents. I thought, look, I'm taking a break. And there was... Adventist World Radio meeting in Cape Town.
Yes.
So a pastor, a very good pastor called Pastor Misiane is, yeah. I'm saying very good. I don't know how to, you can't rank good, you know, but I really like him. He's been a mentor of mine for a while.
Yeah.
And so he was going there. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go there too. I had heard about it, you know, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm taking a break. So I took leave. I went there. And by the way, it was such a good decision because I got to see, because it was a conference. It wasn't like this, you know, no studio or whatever. When they booked out a hotel at Gordon's Bay, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But the key thing, what I kept listening to was, and by then I was already in tech. I knew, I mean, I've done tech, you know, and business. But I was seeing how the impact of radio.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I saw, and the key thing, I mean, and we're talking about winning souls for Christ then. That's how they were framing it. Of course, that's their agenda, you know. But what I was seeing is to say, wow, you're having such an impact in so many people, in so many places, right? And for me, that was such an eye-opener. So my philosophy from there, I say to myself, look, I don't need to make big money from one person. I want to craft a narrative that says I want to make a small amount of money.
From a lot of people.
From a lot of people, a lot of times.
Okay.
You know? So that's how I began. And that's what led me to telcos. You know? And I've been trying to work with them ever since. You know, to say they're the conduit that can take me to a place where I'm able to not just cause you to hear me.
Okay.
But I can bill you. You know, I can bill you for a service or a product, but a lot of times, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how my narrative was shaped. But it was shaped, like I'm saying, from your employers, from heartbreak. Without the heartbreak, I would never have been there. I don't think I would have gone the direction I've gone up to this day, you know? So so it come from telcos. And I mean, I tried a number of things to varying degrees of success. But now I've gone into the world of rewards. I'm in the world of rewards, and it's fascinating.
How does that work?
You see, I'm glad you asked. You know, the world of rewards, really, reward marketing, really, is how do you build loyalty? So how do I, basically, let's say, how do I cause you to be loyal to a particular brand? You know, how do I use rewards to increase sales for a particular brand?
Can you get me an iPhone?
So, well, the iPhone.
Yeah, so that I can, as a reward.
As a reward.
I can be a
it's possible,
loyal
but let me, let me. It's possible. It's very possible. You can have an iPhone and you can say a chance to win. But that's, you know, so, and you know, out of, in fact, actually, you come to the place where I try to avoid. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. So ordinarily, okay, I can, as a business owner, let's say you're selling burgers.
Yeah.
Right? Ordinarily, you would say, look, I have $200,000 that I want to spend. Okay. I can go and buy several iPhones. I can buy a Mac, you know, the screen, what you call this big screen TVs and so forth, and say, buy two burgers and you will stand a chance to win this. So how I flip the script is to say, you buy the two burgers and I will give you something. As in, instead of a chance to win, I'm guaranteeing you a reward. Now, how does that reward look like? It can be a cinema ticket. Right? A New Metro cinema ticket that costs, you know, 95 Rand at the moment. But I'm giving you, if you buy two burgers. So as a customer, that's a value proposition, right? You're saying, look, if I buy two burgers from Tapelo, I'm going to get a cinema ticket, right? That's a value proposition because you're saying, wow, okay. And okay, now how I, how we view it, right? And how I personally view it is to say, so Tapelo, I'm a customer. I come and get a movie ticket. I go because of these burgers. I go to the movie. I watch a really good movie. I create good memories. And I associate those memories with Tapelo's burger shop. I keep going back. And so the movie is just one place, you know. It can be a theme park where you, I go with my family and I'm giving you 50% off. Right? So it's about how do I give you high valued experiential
reward. They are guaranteed.
Guaranteed. So guaranteed. You do.
You would have me, definitely.
You see? So that's the world I'm in.
Not a chance where I need to take a gamble.
So who wins it? That, you don't know. Yeah, I've never won a chance thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
about, look, do this and you will get Y. And so what we do then, what I do is I get as many variety of reward partners as possible, and I try to use them, you know, in the cause of its different brands. So a burger shop will have a thing, a school will have a different thing. You as Adventist World Radio, you could say, like, right, we want to use rewards to really engage with our listeners, you know? So engage with that, give us some feedback, and we will give you X, you see?
Yeah.
So there's so many ways rewards come into play, but it still goes back to the same philosophy, like I said, you know, where, hey, small amount from many people. A lot of time.
I get that. But I think it's from the broken heart.
Hey. All things work together for good. Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at you and just how you're explaining it to me. Like I said, I'm already sold. If it's guaranteed, then I'm definitely coming back to the burger store. Because then at least today I get my movie ticket. Tomorrow I get my ticket to the soccer stadium. You know, those type of things.
Exactly.
So I'll definitely be a customer in that. Sounds like this found you.
Yeah.
This industry.
Yes. In fact, let me even... So the rewards game, in fact, even how I got to TLC Marketing, and in fact, as you are reading it, I'm saying, oh, I've just left to do it or something on my own.
Okay.
You know, how I got there is so amazing. I was going through, so first of all, my business was up and down. And then me and my wife, who were going through some difficult challenges because we were having a difficult pregnancy, you know. And in fact, I should pause here to say one of the key things that I wish I knew when I was younger is, you know, I saw my father return tithe, you know, but I saw him do offering too, you know. So his philosophy was 20% off gross. So it was 10% over and above.
Yeah.
I wish I started doing that when I was without cheating so much. But eventually I made a decision, look, now I'm on this path and I'm going to trust God. Look, if I can't make ends meet, it's now your problem, you know? Yeah. So I started doing that, especially, so I was returning tithe, but then I thought, you know, because returning tithe is his money. It's not yours, you know what I mean? Yeah, so it's not a novelty. It's not like you're not giving. Yeah. It's his.
Yeah.
So then when I started doing the offering part, you know, and I was now challenging God to say, look, my business up and down. And by then, just to put context, I was now called to be an elder at my church. And I was going through this difficult pregnancy that was not allowing me to focus so much on what I was doing for a living. And I was saying to God, look, I need a little bit more stability here, but I need it in a fashion that doesn't encumber me in a way that will cause me to be, you know, resentful.
Yeah.
You know? And this opportunity with TLC came, really. I was going there to discuss a deal.
Okay.
You know? And the CEO, as we're talking, we're just chatting, he's like, hey, man, don't you want to come and do this here? Don't you want to come and handle the Africa desk here? So at first, I thought, what about me? Says you and I was first thinking, look, I don't want to be employed. Why would you?
Yeah.
But then when I thought about it further, I'm like, oh, you know, this could be God talking.
Yeah.
And I'm busy trying to bring my own thoughts into play here.
Yeah.
But long story short, I mean, what an opportunity it's been, because it's caused me to pivot in the right way. And just as a testimony to say, you know, they don't even have my CV there. You know, I got hired without CV, no background check, no nothing. You know, just look, come join us. When can you start? All this, putting everything in play. you know. God is still in the business of making way where there seems to be
no
way.
So yeah. The testimony that I'm hearing is challenging God with your offering.
Exactly. So you do what he, you know, you look after his business and see how he looks after you.
Sure.
So
that's
how I got into the world of rewards. So now I'm trying to combine both, you know, where the telco game and my philosophy with the rewards thing. And let's see how.
So that'll be your and your wife's business.
Yes. Well, okay. Whatever.
I am
in, she's a banker. She's in insurance.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, there's nothing you own by yourself.
Yeah,
you know, in the marriage game, it's yours and hers. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the business now is about how do I bring the telco, but the rewards piece is still there, you know, where how do I reward you at a fraction of a cost, but give you high valued experiential reward, you know, that will really cause the brand, someone to affiliate themselves, what's called brand affinity to grow.
Yeah.
And because we're doing it en masse, so we're talking about millions of customers. So then you it's about margin. How do you work out the model such that, you know, we make a good living out of that, but still deliver value.
One success you look back at?
Success. In terms of my own career or...
Yes.
That's a good point. That's a good question.
I'm sure you do sit around at night and now pivoting to your own business as well and bring the two together.
Yeah.
There's one or two things you look back and like, perhaps they're the reason you're pivoting this direction because you've enjoyed success in this, maybe closing a few deals in the Africa space.
Yeah. So I've closed a few and some of them are ongoing.
Mm.
But for me, the I don't want to particularly point at one particular thing in terms of the deal.
Okay.
I the success is the idea, is the fact that God brought me here, right?
Okay.
And in this way, I mean, the ability to affect or to touch so many people in a fundamental way is just astonishing, you know?
True.
Like what example I was giving you to say, right, so this theme park, I'm giving you 50% off, and you're going to a place, the swimming pool and rides. I know my kids like that. Just because you bought two burgers or two shampoos or you answered a survey somewhere, you know what I mean? And you attach that to a brand. That's, for me, that's powerful, you know
that's
what
powerful.
I mean? And you're helping a brand on an ongoing basis. But where I've now evolved to is to say, right, how do I do this on an ongoing basis? So, for example, one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is to, how do I now do that in the student setting? You know, and I'm busy approaching some brands, and some of them I'm very advanced. So that person who is coming from a previously disadvantaged background, and they're now a student in this institution, how do I use rewards to not only incentivize them to perform better, but how do I use those rewards to alleviate their burden in terms of food, clothing?
Sure.
You see, so the fact that God brought me here, right, where I can attempt to solve problems of that nature,
that's interesting.
It's just beautiful, you know. So for me, like that problem that I just explained now is what I'm tackling now, right?
Sure,
now
that's interesting.
And should he cause me to solve it,
you're already there.
You know,
it sounds like you're already there.
I hope
that's
so.
That's an amazing thing.
You know, but here's the thing, and we're talking about success.
Yeah.
In money sphere, is to say, if you get to do what you really, really, really like, and you love, and you are good at it, and then you add a piece where you're doing some of it for the common good, you know?
Yeah.
And God is with you there. It's so satisfying.
It's amazing.
So that alone, doesn't matter how much money particularly you're making.
Yeah.
But that alone, if you're able to combine those.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's so satisfying.
Sure.
So gratifying, yeah.
We've got about 10 minutes and I want us to then talk about money. How do you define your relationship with money?
It's evolving.
That's a good way.
It's evolving, man. It's evolving.
It's evolving. Where did it start? Was it a bad start?
It was a bad start.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I used to think that I was disciplined.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, as I started earning a salary and stuff.
Yes, yes.
And then one time, one of the things I was working on brought me a lot of money.
Mm.
And it was in my account and I was looking at it. And then I didn't like what came out from there.
Mm.
I was not well behaved at all.
Mm.
Clearly, I was not anchored properly.
Were you a spender?
Oh, yeah. Not just that. You know, yeah. It's where you go to spend it.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that I spent it to the extent that I was finished it. Not
okay.
really.
Okay.
Is that the personality that came out was not great,
okay.
number one. And number two, my investment decisions were so poor.
Yeah.
Was so poor. I thought I knew and I knew nothing.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, let me even pause here to say, you know, having mentors that you share, like you have, who have good values, you share values with as a Christian, are so crucial. Because then they can show you, look, especially ones that are very successful and have money. And so they can train you to say, look, when you get it, this is how you behave. This is how you invest. This is how, you know, you move it in different places. This is how you can, you know, acquire assets and so forth, you know?
Yeah.
So mine is evolving.
Yeah.
I'm improving, I hope. You know,
that's
as I go. But yeah, the value of mentors and the value of good, you know, the birds of a feather, good friends that you are around, you know.
I find that we, especially our community, doesn't value mentors, especially financial mentors, financial
so
advisors.
Crucial, man.
We see them as, I'm wasting my money. I'm making this guy rich. And I think that's a bad attitude.
It's a terrible attitude. I mean, I can't emphasize enough.
Mm.
You know, but just not just mentors. Mentors who can sponsor you.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
So a mentor can take you to a certain place. Like, look, I understand you are here, Tapelo.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you to some people who will really either improve your skill set or give you an opportunity to do what you do, but in a better platform or environment. So it's so crucial.
Yeah.
You know, the soft skills, how they tell you to approach a certain person, how to present, how to, when you have an opportunity, how to set up to harness that opportunity, how to make sure you are consistent, all these things.
Mm.
They come because they've been there, you know?
Mm.
And you might think you know.
Yeah. One good thing you think you've done with money?
That's a very, very... I wonder, man. I wonder. What a good thing. Well, besides the fact that I'm trying to save and, you know, family enjoying it.
Yeah.
Some causes. I've really tried to get in some causes that I believe that were useful.
Mm.
And I'm just trying to see which one is more profound than I got. But yeah, let's just leave it because you say your time is short. Yes.
Okay.
So, but I've tried to get into some good causes, and that for me, the giving part, so gratifying.
Yeah.
More than people. More than, let me not talk people, let me talk me, more than I realized in the past, the act of giving, it's just
beautiful.
Gives. Yeah.
It's a beautiful.
There's something. There's an ecosystem.
When do you think we should start teaching kids about money?
Oh, as soon as they can understand.
Mm.
In fact, that the idea that when you're not money wise, it's just how do you call it? Is it foolish?
Mm.
Yeah. As soon as you can, you know, every day money matters should be discussed at home.
Mm.
You know, it's a constant lesson because it's such a pivotal thing in terms of success in this life, on this side of eternity.
Mm.
So money matters should be discussed always. A sense of economy,
the
more the child knows that, the better. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's very important. I think that's what you try and do on Business Sense, since this show, contribute towards that. You know, our understanding about money and why money is important.
Mm.
I know a lot of pastors argue that, you know, a lot of Christ's parables and teachings had to do with material possessions and our attitude towards such things. So this show then is pitted on that, and that's what we try and do.
And I hope that you are very, very successful. By the way, you know, for me, money is just like any other skill set.
Yeah.
Some people are better than others.
Yeah.
And it's just prudent to learn.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
So,
you know, it's nothing like you can try to be proud and whatnot and just lose. You know, some people are better at it, so please teach me.
Yes, yes.
I'll take it in. You know what I mean?
I think the idea of also being humble enough to be taught is another one that's very important.
That's a big one, especially when you are older.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Your younger self, what would you say to your younger self?
The idea of value and values. So, like, how do I make sure that whatever I'm trying to put out there is valuable?
Mm.
And then how are my values driven? Mm. So I'll give you, like, just, I wish I did this when I was younger. Like, this thing I told you, plant-based.
Mm.
So eat better, number one. Number two,
sure.
Sleep better,
hey.
You know. Number three, when I wake up, what's my routine? So that idea of prayer, then you're reading. So, for example, one of the things I would say is instead of trying to read so many books, I can have 10 bestest, if there's that word, books, and read them all the time. One of which is here, what I'm looking at, the Bible. Just read that all the time.
Yeah.
All, you know, sometimes not about so much, few, but you understand them real well.
Yeah.
If I could do that, if I did that, I would be so far.
Yeah.
And then, the what we've been alluding to, you know, the choice of mentors, the choice of friends, you know, that's been huge. And if I was more focused about that, you know, like you are so determined to say, right, every association, you're looking at it in a proper lens to say, hey, look, exactly intentional. Yeah. So if I could tell my younger self, that's what I would be saying. Look, get your routine right. Make sure your values are God-centered and properly entrenched. And then there's no telling how far you go.
I'm glad you said bestest instead of besta, because besta has become a word you don't want to say anyway.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
There's a besta somewhere right now.
That's right, man. But you know, even him, I was telling my wife to say, you know, you're just one mistake away. I am one mistake away from being on the news, from being a laughing stock. And the key thing, and I was saying, imagine sharing heaven with him.
Yeah, a lot of us would be shocked.
You see?
And that's possible, by the way.
That's why Jesus came, to say, hey, you know, you might be as red as crimson, but I'll make it white as snow. And then he's surprised he's there. And then those you expected to be there,
they're not there.
You know what I mean? So.
That's amazing. What would you do differently? Anything, looking back?
Oh, if I could do differently, one of the big things is plant-based, like you say. You know, I'll tell you why. In fact, this is, and if we have enough time, you know, just quickly, you know, I end up, and this is a long story before that, but I end up at a center called Be Free.
Oh, in Cape Town?
But in Eastern Cape.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was seriously pushed to be there, and I eventually did.
Yeah.
And I just saw miracles.
Sure.
I mean, there was a person with cancer. That cancer was reversed right before my eyes. You know, hypertension, blood pressure. I remember there was this lady who was breathing. You could hear her breathe, you know. By the time we were leaving, she was so well. And so for me, that's one of the keys to say, look, there's some way of eating or there's a lifestyle you can adopt that will cause you not to be sick. At all. But not only that, let me actually expand on that to say, then your brain is thinking at such a high level. I remember when I was there on the third day, just something happened. It's almost like, so I called my father and said, look, someone switched on the light in my brain. That was the experience, you know, where you just,
light bulb moment.
Not even light bulb moment, just your ability to think, expand, you know? So for me, if I could change something, I would have started this when I was five or something.
Yeah.
You know, I would be stronger, you know, just smarter and all this stuff. So ordinarily, so we can talk money, but you can talk fundamentals that would allow you to even make better decisions, to be you know, more alert, ability to consume, to make better decisions, you name it. And it goes down to that, how you exercise, how you eat, how you sleep, you know, what it is that you're consuming, you know. So if you're consuming this healthy book here, you know, broader, you know, broader thoughts, wisdom, you know. Yeah, so if I could,
There's a bread company that, you know, we won't mention, but they had a tagline a couple of years ago. They said, you are what you eat.
Oh, yes.
And I know they've changed it. I don't know whether it's a political pressure or whatever pressure they got. But that tagline was really great.
You are certainly what you eat. And it's a tragedy that you're supposed to be here. And because of what you eat, you are now at the bottom. Yeah. And you think you're okay, but you're not.
Last words, 10 seconds. Any last words, any advice to our listeners?
Trust God with your finances. God with your finances. He is more than capable to cause you to thrive and go to places you don't know.
I love that. Wow. Thank you so much. I'm going to talk to my producer. I think there's still a lot that we need to unpack.
Oh, please, I'll be glad. Thank you. I'm glad it's gone this well.
Yes, I will talk to you, and definitely for your part two. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And availing yourself for this conversation. And really, I've learned a lot. I was writing down a lot of the things that I need to go back at myself and look at. But really appreciate your time. And
thank you so much.
Insights you've shared. And may God bless you and your family as well.
Amen. And you too.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, there you have it, folks. It was our shapeshifter for today. And I do think, as I was saying, I've been scribbling myself a lot. I'm going to just go back when I get home and revisit some of these. It is Amani Kenny. You can connect with him as well. Social media platforms, where do people find you? Oh, LinkedIn.
That's a good question. LinkedIn, please search for my name. The other platforms, I really don't look at them. But LinkedIn, I do. So please search for LinkedIn, my name. Yeah. I'm Amani Mkemi, and I'll be glad to connect.
Definitely. Yeah. There you have it. That's where you can find him. Thank you so much to you and yours and the other one that's sitting next to you. Perhaps even the other one that's across you as you're listening to us right here on Business Sense. It has been a pleasure being in your company. And we really appreciate the time that you take to join us. +27734703520 20 is the number that you can use to talk to us and continue on this conversation. Facebook, it is AWRSID Media. On Twitter, it is at @AWRSID_media. And on Instagram, which is the young people call it IG or the Gram, it is AWR_SID Media. My name is @Tapelo_Moloi SA. That's where you can find me on all social media platforms. But from me and the rest of the team to you and yours, until we meet next time, may God bless you and keep you. May He cause His countenance to so shine upon you and give you peace. Until we meet next time. Goodbye.